I've been thinking for the last couple days about what I wanted to express that has been really weighing heavy on my heart. And I've come to two tools in the shed. One tool that's in the shed of Satan, and the other tool that's in God's shed. And there's a bridge between these two sheds. First of all, I used to think that, as the Bible says, that Satan is the father of lies. And he is. He's a liar. But I don't know if we ever realize how much more he is than that. One of his greatest tools that I have learned that he uses in our world today and in people's lives is fear. Fear. All kinds of different fear. I mean, our world is in such a chaotic mess today because of fear. Our nation is in the shape it's in because of fear. And fear mongers that are causing fear in the lives of other people. But he is the generator of this fear. He is that which is absolutely opposite of peace, which is exactly what God is. God is peace. God brought peace into my life when he became my Savior through Jesus Christ, his Son, on the cross. I experienced real peace for the first time. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't get overwhelmed sometimes and get kind of crazy like everybody else because of fear. Just because I have the peace of God doesn't mean I don't experience the fear of the enemy sometimes in my life. Because I do. And so do you all. So my question is, the tool that is in God's shed is peace, but that's not the one I want to talk about. I want to talk about the tool that transcends everything else, and that tool is love. Real love. Love that transcends anything you and I can possibly imagine. Love that brings us into a place that we don't deserve. Love that brings us into a place which we have not earned. Love that has been demonstrated to us in a way that shows how much God desires to have his people spend eternity with him. That's what God desires for all of us. Not all of us will have it. Because there are those that like to run against the Lord God. They have fallen into the lies, the deception, the fear. And fear is not something that is not biblical, because it is. I was doing a quick skim of the different kinds of fear that even Israelite and God's people themselves have fallen into. And one of the things that I want to share with you, and I want to read several passages. Again, I pray that God can use this in such a way. This is not what I had intended to preach on this morning, but it's what he laid upon my heart. There is a bridge between fear and love. The only way we can get to it, and that is by faith. Okay? So please understand, you have fear in Satan's corner, you have love in God's corner, and it takes faith to go from fear to love. We got to have faith. So let's talk about fear. I don't probably believe anybody experienced more fear at different times than David, King David did. One of his psalms, he writes in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, he says this. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I think that's a real legitimate question. I remember the Bible telling me, if God is for me, who can be against me? David is more or less stating that very truth. He is saying simply, the Lord is the light of my salvation. In Him and Him alone can we be saved. And if He is our salvation, who can possibly stand against us? Because they're not standing against us. They're standing against Him. Who? Who can we fear? He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. As a believer, you need to underline these real descriptive words and verbs that are being mentioned here. He is the strength of David's life. I can here to tell you today that my God is the strength of my life. Without Him, I would have none. Without Him, I would buckle to the chaos of this world. But you see, He's my strength. Even in the times when it is shaky, just like everybody else's. David says that, oh, of whom shall I be afraid? If God is our strength, who can possibly we be afraid of? He says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. You see, our enemies are out to devour us, just like they were David. We have physical enemies and we have spiritual enemies. We've got them in both camps. In this world, there are those who hate Christians more than they hate religion. Because Christians have made it very specific that you can't get to heaven or get to God through a bunch of rules and regulations that you're obeying. You've got to come through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They don't like that. They don't want to have to come through one person and one person alone. Although the Bible says we come through one person and one person alone. We don't need to fear our enemies, physical or spiritual. We have Satan on us all the time. All the time. He never gives up. He is relentless, and that doesn't mean He can be with you and me at the same time because He's not omnipresent. He can't. But He's got a hierarchy that He has to make sure He's inflicting as much pain and hurt and fear in the lives of God's people as He can. You and I, we have no need to fear because God is the light of our salvation. He is our strength. In verse 3, he says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. He will be confident in the Lord God of his salvation, of the Lord God of his strength, of his protector. He believed that God would protect him. And I believe God protects his people here today too. Does that mean we won't suffer? Of course it doesn't mean that. Does that mean that we might not catch the wrath of the world? No, it doesn't mean that. But he has protected my soul from eternal hell and damnation. He's protected that. You see, this body is going to have to perish someday. All of them will. Because these bodies can't get into heaven as they are. We must drop them to take on that immortal body that we have been promised one day. So my friend, listen to me. Fear is the natural enemy of the body and of the soul and of the heart. Just like David said, if Satan can get us to fear the enemies, there's other kinds of fears mentioned too. Paul mentioned fear of that we didn't need to fear suffering. He said, you know what? I don't fear when I'm hungry, and I don't fear when I'm bound. I just thank Jesus, he says, because I praise God through Christ, all things are possible. And he says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Do we believe that this morning? Then there's no room for fear in our life. There is no room. We may suffer the fear of clothing, but yet that reminds me of what Jesus said. How am I going to live for tomorrow? And Jesus said, do we think that God doesn't count us more valuable of all creation? He does. I just heard one of the craziest, outrageous things I've ever heard in my life yesterday. A theological seminary, somewhere down south, I think it was in Texas, they are now confessing their sins to plants. Yeah, you heard me right. They're confessing their sins to plants. Like your oleanders or your whatever, even fake plants, I don't know. But the reasoning behind this is, now get this, we're all one creation. We're all one and all. We can't hurt the plants. We can't hurt the animals. Did you read in your Bible where God didn't create man and said that he put them as dominion over the rest of all creation? Isn't that what your Bible says? I mean, mine says that. So let me tell you something. I'm not going to pray and confess my sins to a plant, because the plant's not going to care. But my Jesus does. This is how crazy and chaotic this is. They will cause you to try to fear them, because you're not fitting into the mold of what's being molded today. You know what? The more and the crazier this gets, the more I like standing out like a sore thumb. Amen? You follow me? Yeah, the more they get off on this deep tangents, the more straight and narrow I want to go. Plants. I still am in shock. If they feared anything, they should fear that. Because that plant's not going to do a thing for them. But Jesus did it all. A seminary. That is aptly called a cemetery, because it only brings death. Amen? So when we think about fear, that's what Satan loves to use. Now, but what about God? All that God has ever done from the beginning of time is demonstrate the love he has for his creation. And we are top of the food chain, okay? We're there at the top. He created us. He didn't say we were just good. He said we were very good. That's how much he loved us. He created us with the ability to converse with him, to interact with him. Something that animals cannot do. Oh, they do from instinct, and they, you know, they can be wonderful pets and all that kind of stuff. But I've had a lot of animals in my life, and none of them have ever sat down in a chair next to me and we had a good conversation. None of them. They look at me like I'm off my rocker. But I can sit down and invite the Lord to sit down next to me, and I can have some of the best conversations I've ever had in my life. And you want to know why? Because he loved me. And he continues to love me. And he continues to love you, each and every one of you, so much that he died for you, even if you refuse his son. Now, if we were to take a look in one of my favorite books, and I love the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John, they are unique to the Bible because they speak of the heart of God through his son, Jesus Christ. In the epistle of 1 John, you cannot miss the importance of love. First of all, God's love towards us, and second of all, our love towards each other. We're to reflect the love He showed to us to each other. In chapter 4, I want to begin with verse 12. He said, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." Now, you get that? If we love one another, love is the theme here. There's no excuse. There is no reason to not love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no excuse. He says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Do we understand what that simple little passage is saying? Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, nailed, died a sinner's death, shed his blood, was humiliated, brutalized, stuck with spears and nails. He did that out of his Father's love for us, which translated in his love for us. So, since you and I have not had to suffer that, we have not had to demonstrate that, then what is our excuse for not loving the body of Christ? There is none. He loved us unconditionally to send His Son. Now, the condition for salvation is to love Him and receive His Son. There is a condition. Believing in Him is not enough. Receiving Him and giving your life to Him is the evidence. For as David said, "God is the light of my salvation." Well, if we take a look at verse 17, he says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world." Now get that. As He is, so are we in this world. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." If you get anything else here today, understand that if you have experienced the love of God, it's because He first loved you. He came after you. You didn't go after Him. He came after you. And it's because He loved you. And you know what? He will follow you and try to reach you and bring you to Him in whatever way it takes. But it's because God first loved us, even in our sinful condition. The Bible says, "But as many received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon His name." Amen. If you've received Him, you are a child of God, and you've been perfected in His love. I want you to understand something here. That fear that he's talking about in verse 18 is because we have not been perfected in love. We haven't received God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's talking about the day of judgment. And there will be a reason to fear at the day of judgment. Because yes, God is love. But God is also just. And justice must and will prevail. If we deny Jesus Christ our whole life, then when we stand before Him at judgment time, we will not have been perfected in God's love. We will face judgment. And unlike many, many religious believers out there, it is not annihilation. It is not disappearance. It is eternity. And it is eternity separated from God in a place created for Satan and his demons. And this place is called hell. It is the lake of fire for all eternity. Religion has dumbed it down just like it does so many times in so many different ways to give three chances at three resurrections, like I was just reading one this week. And if by the third resurrection you just don't get it, then you cease to exist. Poof, you're gone. Well, I hate to say this, but when judgment comes and there's no poof, they're gone, it's depart from me, for I never knew you, into the lake of fire and hellfire and brimstone for eternal life. These words will come back for eternity. You see, God is love. And God has reached out to us in love. So we have Satan's tool of fear. We have God's tool of ultimate love. Well, how in the world do we get from fear to love? Faith is how we get there. One of my favorite verses in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is a gift of God. It is by faith we receive. It is by faith we believe. It is by faith we embrace the love of God in our hearts and our lives, which makes us different. Which makes us different. Oh yeah, we may be made fun of. We may be made mocked at. The new religion may say you don't love the creation and the nature because you don't confess to plants. Well, that's all okay. Because I have but one that I will confess to, the one that can forgive me of my sin. And His name is Jesus Christ. By faith, you go from fear to love. Now, listen to me and listen carefully. If you're dependent on religion and denomination and practice and obedience and all of those things to get you to God's love from fear, it's not going to, is one avenue, faith. What happens when we get there? By faith. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's understand what that verse means. The word walk can also be translated live. Live. We live. Our lives are demonstrations every day of our faith in God. Of our faith in the Savior. Are they? Is it really a lifestyle difference that you and I are making? Is that the kind of faith that we have? A living faith? A walking faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I may not see physically everything God is doing, but I experientially can know everything God's doing because He's doing it in my life. How He does it is up to Him. How He chooses to do it is up to Him. But I believe what Jesus said, because Jesus said He'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. Do you believe that this morning? And faith brings that to reality. Faith is. Satan wants to get us tied up in fear. Fear of what tomorrow will bring. Fear of the government coming in and taking control and stripping us of all of our rights. Fear. I'm not going to live by that fear. I'm going to live by the reality of God's love. Like Paul said, I want to learn to live when things and times are great. But I want to learn to be just as content when times are not. To abound and to be abased. When things and I'm accepted by people or I'm rejected by people. You know, in our class, as we've been talking about forgiveness, Paul demonstrated real forgiveness when he talked about the coppersmith that was giving him a lot of grief and basically made his life miserable and turned others against him. And Paul said, you know what? Don't lay this at their charge. Forgive them. How many of us have that kind of forgiveness in our hearts today? How many of us by faith know that we've been forgiven for every sin that we've ever committed? That's what the work, the eternal work of Jesus Christ is, by the way. He didn't pick out what he wanted to forgive and forget the rest. He forgave us for everything. Can we find one person in this congregation or in this world that we cannot forgive? No matter what they've done to us, no matter what the hurt and the pain may be, it's not about hurt and pain. It's about God's love. I hurt him. I hurt the spirit who lives within me sometimes with my sin. And yet on my knees, I can be forgiven. I can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. I don't know what each and every one of our spiritual conditions are here today, but I know one thing. Our spiritual condition should be the most important concern of your life, because it is the difference between heaven and hell. And regardless what the religions teach you about not being a hell, there is a hell because the Bible says so. Of course, they just say we're misinterpreting it. Yeah, well, they'll stand underneath that misinterpretation someday and stand in judgment of God's wrath against their sin. But us here today, are we solid in the love of God by the faith that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ? And if we can say yes to that, then one final question is, are our lives a living demonstration of that faith? In other words, am I living by faith or am I walking by sight? Do I got to see it to believe it? That's not how it works. God won't force any of us to believe in Him. He won't force any of us to accept His love. But He loves us. And if there's any one person sitting in this congregation today and you've not experienced the love of God through His Son Jesus Christ, today can be your day. Today you can say, I want the love. I'm tired of the fear. And so by faith, I'm going to come to the love of my God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to go that route today. And I'm going to reject Satan's fear. And I'm going to, by faith, come to God's love. What will you do today? How far will you be willing to go? The choice and the decision is yours. God just says, come ye all that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. All. Don't let a denomination stop you. Don't let a religious background stop you. Because that isn't going to get you into heaven. Religious practice isn't going to get you into heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ gets you into heaven. And what will you do with him today?